our helper. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18 is where we begin today. John 14, 16 to 18, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Father, we pray and trust this morning that you would open the eyes of our understanding to the gift that you have given us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Help us to see and understand the purpose of the Helper and all that he's come to do in our lives this day for the glory of Jesus Christ. And may we learn to lean on our Helper, your Holy Spirit. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Let me just remind you of the setting here, what we're looking at in John chapter 14. It's the last night of Jesus' life on the earth. Shortly after what we have read here, Judas will betray Jesus. He will be arrested. He will be taken and crucified. And 3 days later, he would be raised again. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's about to happen. And he's telling them that I'm going to depart. And that sounds like a sad thing, only what he's telling them is it's a good thing for you that I'm going to depart, because when I do, I will send back to you the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. He'll not only be with you, but he will be in you. The good news is that we are never alone in this lifetime. We are never on our own. God did not leave any of us here to try to figure out life and work it out for ourselves. He has given us a comforter, a counselor, and a helper so that we don't have to just white knuckle it till the end, so to speak. But we've got the strength of the living God living and dwelling on the inside of us always, as Jesus promised. This gift that Jesus promised, this Holy Spirit, is the same Spirit that filled Jesus, the same Spirit that led Jesus, the same Spirit that anointed Jesus and caused him to do the things that he did. This is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to his disciples. It's the same Holy Spirit today that he desires to give to us as his disciples. We read over in Ephesians chapter 1 last week, Paul's confirmation of this fact, that when we believed in the Lord Jesus, God gave us a foretaste of heaven in the person of the Holy Spirit. If you look with me at Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at several passages in the book of Acts here today and talk about this helper who has come to walk alongside of us and to be with us in this journey of life. Peter in Acts chapter 2 confirms for us that the same Holy Spirit that fell upon the disciples and that anointed Jesus himself is the same Holy Spirit that God wants to give to all who believe in the Lord Jesus today. We receive him when we're born again. Peter has preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and the Pharisees' hearts have been convicted because they are now well aware that they have had a part to play in the death of the Messiah and the Son of God. And they are convicted of their own sins and their rejection of Jesus and these kinds of things. And so they cry out to Peter as he's preached this message. Beginning in verse 37, it tells us, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" What are we supposed to do at this point forward to make it right and to receive this gift that Jesus wants to give? And Peter says to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." this gift of the Holy Spirit to help us get through life, to empower us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. The same Holy Spirit that anointed the life of Jesus himself is the same Holy Spirit that he wants to give to us. Throughout the ages, the Holy Spirit has been given to be a helper to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes to dwell within us and to help us in many ways. And let's make no mistake today. Every single one of us needs help in this life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking around this room, and I know something on just about every one of you. I know a lot of the things that you're going through because you've confided in me, and I'm not telling anybody. But I know that we all have struggles in life. None of us are making it on our own. God never intended for us to make it on our own. He gave us a helper. We need a helper. And he gave us a helper to help us to get through life. We need a helper. We need the wisdom of God and the choices that we make. From time to time, we go through trials and tribulations and afflictions, and we need the comforter to come and be with us and to comfort our hearts in what we've had to deal with and sometimes and in our loneliness. And he gives us strength by the helper to resist and overcome temptations and trials and things in life that we just can't make it on our own. If you, and we've dealt with a lot of people who have had drug and alcohol addictions in our church, and people that we've ministered to along the way over the years. And almost to a man, they will tell you that the reason that they got so deeply into trouble was because when they first got started, they thought they could handle it. Those are famous last words, brother and sister. I can handle it. Because the truth of the matter is, we can't handle sins and the temptations of life without the help of God and the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. We will fall. We will yield. We will suffer the consequences if we don't yield to the Holy Spirit and lean on the Holy Spirit. We used to have there was a saying many years ago among Christians, God, you handle the big things and I'll handle the little things. Did you know the Bible tells us in the book of the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, it tells us it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things that are going to take you down. It's the accumulation of the little things that are going to just nip at you and eat at you and finally destroy you if you don't get help from God to deal with the little things in life. The little foxes spoil the vine. The devil will see to it that you have so many little foxes and so many little fires that you have to put out in your life that you just go crazy trying to win in your situations in life. And those things will accumulate and they will stomp you. They will beat you down, chew you up, and spit you out. And the devil will see to it if you don't lean on the Holy Spirit and let him give you the power to overcome those temptations, tests, and trials in your life. The temptation for us is to think, I can handle it. I don't need help. If that's what we think, we're going to fail and we're going to fall. Let me, if I might, just take just a little rabbit trail and take you in a different direction for just a moment. We're also tempted to think in our times of struggle that we're the only ones struggling. And this is why so often we fail to ask help of other people within the church. We look around at the church and we all come, let's be honest this morning. We all come to church on Sunday morning and we all put our best face on so that nobody knows we've got problems. And then we come to church with our problems and we see everybody else with their best face on and we think, well, they don't have any problems. Everything is going great in their life. Everything is going great in everybody else's life but my life. What's wrong with me? And we get embarrassed and we get ashamed and we get, quite frankly, prideful. And we won't ask for help. And we've all got problems, guys. We've all got issues that we're dealing with in life. Every single one of us. I don't care how good you look on the outside. I guarantee you there's something on the inside that needs a little help. that needs the helper, that needs the Holy Spirit. And we have to be careful, because if we walk in that attitude, well, everybody else is doing great and I'm doing so bad and things are so rotten in my life, what's wrong with me? If we're not careful, we'll get our eyes completely on ourselves, and then we'll get depressed and we'll get discouraged and all of these kinds of things. No, brother and sister, that we all need help. You know, it's not just a matter of, you know, misery loves company. It does. But the truth of the matter is, we all need help, and we should never think that we're the only ones that are suffering in this lifetime. We all need the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you this morning to embrace the Holy Spirit in your life, to embrace what the Apostle Paul calls the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, being one with the Spirit of God. Now look over in Acts chapter 19 with me quickly here this morning. Sadly, there are many people in today's church who don't know much about the Holy Spirit. Things are actually better now than when I first came into the ministry so many years ago. Pentecostals and charismatics have proclaimed the Holy Spirit and all that He can do, and yet there were so many weird things going on among these people that the Baptists and the Methodists looked at the Pentecostals and thought they were all nuts and wouldn't have anything to do with them, and there's a great divide in the church because of it. And thankfully, more and more, the Church of Jesus Christ across the board has learned about the Holy Spirit and learned to trust the Holy Spirit. But there are still many in the church today that are like these guys in Acts chapter 19. And let me give you a little background about this passage I want to read before I share it with you. In Acts chapter 18, the text tells us about a mighty man of God who preached about Jesus, but didn't apparently have the full story, the whole story about the Holy Spirit and what He could do in the lives of the people that would receive Jesus. And he preached Jesus to many believers, and he preached Jesus and won believers in the city of Ephesus. But he didn't teach about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit could do in their lives if they would lean on Him every day. And so Paul is traveling in his third missionary journey, and he comes to the city of Ephesus, and he comes upon a group of these believers, but they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 1, it happened that while Apollos, and that was the preacher who had taught them about Jesus, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So these are believers, and yet notice their response. They said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. They knew they needed to repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their Savior, but they didn't know that there was more beyond that for them as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says in verse 4, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in Him, Jesus, who was coming after Him, that is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And there was about 12 men. And so here they were as believers, having heard about Jesus and salvation through Him and repentance of sin, and yet they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And many Christians today are in that same situation, in that same boat, where we know little or nothing about the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. He's not a lesser God. He's co-equal to God the Father and God the Son. And He is God as we relate to Him in this lifetime and in this world, in the here and now. In fact, evangelist Oral Roberts from the previous century used to call Him God in the now. God in the now. Because you know about God the Father, He's the creator of all things, and He dwells eternally in the heavens. And we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world and died to pay for our sins, and then He was crucified and rose from the dead, but He too has ascended into heaven. We know about God the Father and God the Son, but we don't know a whole lot about God the Holy Spirit, who dwells with us in this lifetime. And there's often in believers' lives today, there's often this disconnect between us and God. We're here in the earth and we're going through all the trials and tribulations and all the struggles, and God is way off yonder somewhere and Jesus is at His right hand. What do we do? How do we get through these things? And there's this great disconnect, and we don't understand that God has given us His Holy Spirit to live in us and to be with us and to be our helper through everything that we go through in this lifetime. I encourage you today to embrace the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, who dwells within you, so that we can experience a better life, an abundant life. My translation calls Him here the helper, back in John chapter 14. The helper will come to you, be with you, dwell in you. Let me look at that again real quickly. John chapter 14. Verse 16, I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. Jesus is departing. Jesus says, I'm going away. They're sad. But He says, it's not a time to be sad. It's a time to rejoice. Because since I'm going, the Holy Spirit will come back and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I want you to notice the relationship between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit that Jesus is sending back is, in fact, Jesus Himself in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus who is coming back. He is the helper. The NIV calls Him the advocate. The Old King James Version calls Him the comforter. The Amplified Bible says He is the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and the standby. The Holy Spirit is all of those things to us as believers. His primary purpose, as we talked about last week for a few moments, His primary purpose was to reveal Jesus to us, then reproduce Jesus in us so that we become more and more like the Son of God. He has come to transform us into the image of Jesus so that instead of being proud and arrogant, we become humble. Instead of being greedy, we become generous. Instead of being bitter and unforgiving, we become merciful. Instead of being mean and hateful, we become kind. Instead of being selfish, we become servants. Instead of being angry, we become joyful. Instead of being dishonest, we lead lives of integrity because of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We become more and more like Jesus. We showed you the video last week of the young man in Dallas, Texas, who forgave a woman who murdered his brother. That's not normal. But he forgave this woman, and he said to her, he said, I forgive you. I love you. I don't even want you to go to prison. I want the best for you. I want you to receive Jesus into your heart. He said these things to a woman who had just been convicted of murdering his brother. I tell you, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit of God. He transforms our lives. And by the way, just share it with you again, what we saw in that video, what we saw that young man do, God calls that ordinary Christianity. Ordinary Christianity. We go, wow, that's incredible. That's amazing. How could he do that? Because he's a Christian. And the Holy Spirit dwells in his heart and empowers him to do the things that Jesus would do. When we embrace the Holy Spirit, he comforts us in times of sorrow, times of affliction. He fills our heart with peace. I've got a whole lot of scripture to share with you today. Look with me at Psalm 30, if you would, quickly. Psalm 30, verses 10 through 12. We're talking about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and what he will do in any life who will yield to him and embrace him and let him have his way and control. Psalm 30 verse 10 says, "Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper." The Holy Spirit is our helper. "You have turned me from mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." This is what the Holy Spirit does. He turns our mourning into dancing, our sadness into gladness. He makes us a happy people if we'll let him have his way, if we will embrace him in our lives. When we embrace the Holy Spirit, he reveals the wisdom of the Lord to us so that we know the right way to do things, the best way to do things, the godly way to do things. In John's gospel, I won't take the time to read these, but in John's gospel, John chapter 14, 26, John chapter 16, verse 13, it tells us that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us, but also reveals truth to us, and also reveals the ways of God to us and the things that are coming upon us. He gives us the wisdom of God. Paul would speak about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read this passage for you. This starts with a familiar verse of scripture. Almost every person has heard this verse of scripture. In chapter 2, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is quoting from the scriptures, from Isaiah. And he says, "Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." And I read this scripture and I hear this scripture quoted all the time in the context of, we don't know how good it's going to be when we get to heaven. I get that. I understand that. But that's not what Paul is talking about. I want you to look at this. It says, "Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 11, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit." The things that the natural man can't receive, he says, the Holy Spirit shares with us so that we can know. Continue reading. He says, "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." At verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." God wants us to know him. He wants us to know his ways. He wants us to know who we are in Christ. He wants us to know what we can accomplish if we will stand up and speak out and allow him to use us. He wants us to know these things that are freely given to us. God gives us wisdom when we embrace the Holy Spirit. When we embrace the Holy Spirit and we commune with him, become one with him, he releases strength into our lives. Look over at 2 Corinthians. You're in 1 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the apostle Paul has just talked about having been taken to heaven and seen unspeakable things. Divine revelations of God. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking all about the persecutions that he has experienced as an apostle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because of these great revelations that I've seen, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. In other words, he says, so that I don't get prideful, God has allowed all this persecution to happen in my life, to keep me trusting in Him, to keep me looking to Him, coming to Him, rather than being prideful. Concerning this, Paul says, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. You ever been in a situation that was tough? You ever been in a hard situation and you ask God, God, please take this away. Lord, please make it stop. That's what Paul is doing here. And all the persecution, you can read it if you look back further in chapters 11 and 12. You can see all the persecution that he went through. And Paul is saying to God, God, please make it stop. God tells Paul, I've got something better in mind than making it stop. Verse 9, he says to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul gets that revelation. Paul sees what God is trying to tell him. God is trying to tell Paul, Paul, instead of trying to handle this yourself, lean on me, trust in my grace, embrace my spirit, receive my power. Let me do in you what you can't do for yourself. And Paul gets that revelation. And he goes on to say in verse 9, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, distresses, and persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, I've learned the secret of getting through these hard times in my life, and the secret to getting through the hard times is to lean on God, to embrace the Holy Spirit, and let God give me a divine strength that will help me get through these difficult times in life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 is another familiar passage where it tells us there that God does not allow us to bear more than we can stand. You've heard that verse? But with the difficulties we go through gives us the way of escape. That's another verse that's misinterpreted by so many Christians. So many Christians read that verse and they say, well, that means God's not going to give us more than we can stand. That's not what that verse means at all. Not at all what it means. I've seen people break. I've seen people get crushed. I've seen people die under the things that God allowed to come into their lives. The promise is not he's going to keep you from going through too much. The promise is that with the temptations, tests, and trials, He's going to give you the way of escape. He's going to give you the grace to endure. He's going to give you the strength to overcome. He's going to give you His Spirit. And if you'll embrace His Spirit will see you through. His Spirit will give you the victory. In one way or the other, you're going to win as you embrace the Spirit of the living God. He gives us strength through the difficulties and trials of life. He gives us strength to overcome temptations to sin. We read last week in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I won't take the time to read that today. Galatians 5, 16, Paul simply says, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the sinful desires of the flesh. Just embrace the Holy Spirit. Just follow the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead your life. He'll lead you into victory and give you strength to overcome temptations, tests, and trials. My time is running short here. Look with me quickly at Romans chapter 8. Here's another passage of Scripture very familiar to us. When we embrace the Holy Spirit, He becomes our advocate. He becomes our intercessor. He becomes the one who stands between us and the problems and is the face of God in intercession to the Lord for us to receive favor through times of difficulties, a favor that will turn circumstances around. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, again familiar verses. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. He's just talked about how all of creation groans in anticipation of the coming of the Son of God and the release of the burdens that it bears. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and through the burdens that we bear. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And, verse 28, we all quote verse 28. We don't read the verses before it. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who does God do these things for? To those who love Him, but to those who have embraced the Holy Spirit, to those who have allowed the Holy Spirit to be their intercessor, to be their advocate, to be the one who strengthens them, to be the one who turns circumstances and situations around for them. And there's so many examples of that in the Bible. Think about from the Old Testament. Think about Joseph. Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. And yet when he gets into Egypt, he winds up being the head servant in Potiphar's household. Yeah, he's still a slave, but he's got a pretty cushy job. And not only does God give him favor in that situation, but eventually God will raise this man up so that he is the head of the nation of Egypt. God gives him favor. That's God working all things together. He sold as a slave, becomes the ruler of the nation. God gives him favor. God turns things around. And further in the history of Israel, you see Ezra and Nehemiah, they're slaves in Persia, but they have a heart for Israel, a heart for the city of Jerusalem, a heart for the temple. And they are given favor by the kings of Persia to go back to Jerusalem, to leave their place of slavery, to go back to their hometown, their home city, and to rebuild it all. And not only are they set free to go back and rebuild, they are given everything they need to rebuild. That's divine favor. That's God working all things together. Queen Esther, read the book of Esther. She too is a slave in Persia. And yet she becomes the queen of the nation to the salvation of the Israelites within the Persian Empire. All of these people see God turn their circumstances and they receive the favor of the Lord because they remain true to God. What about the Apostle Paul? I love to preach about the Apostle Paul in the prison of Philippi in Acts chapter 16. But we often stop too early in that story to see how God turns favor for Paul. Paul is in prison, not because of anything that he's done wrong, but because he's preached the gospel and he set a little demon-possessed girl free. He's beaten. He's thrown into prison. In prison, he praises God. He worships the Lord. And God turns the circumstances around for him. God sends an earthquake that opens the prison doors. All the prisoners have the ability to leave if they want to. None of them do. The guard comes into the prison, sees them all there, bows down at the feet of the Apostle Paul. Paul preaches the gospel to him, gets him and his whole household saved. That's God working all things together for good. He turned an imprisonment and to the salvation of a family. The jailer winds up taking Paul home with him, cleans up his wounds, feeds him, and takes care of him. Later on in the book of Acts, Acts 27 and Acts 28, Paul is on a ship. He's a captive of Rome now, and he's being transported to Rome. And the ship that he's on, his ship be sinking, brother. It's going down. They're in a storm, and the ship is breaking up. But God gives Paul everybody who is on that ship, and they all make it to an island called Malta there. As Paul is collecting sticks and wood for a fire to keep themselves warm in the rain, a snake comes out of the sticks, out of the wood, and bites the Apostle Paul. The people think about Paul, well, we knew he was a prisoner, and he escaped the shipwreck, but justice has finally come to him, and now he's going to die because the serpent's bitten him. The Bible says Paul shakes the serpent off, goes on about his business. The people begin to look at him. They realize he's not going to die. They think instead of being a prisoner, he must be a god. And he's taken to the house of one of the leading people on the island, and he's treated well there. That's God working all things together. He finds out that the father of the man to the home that he's gone to, he's sick and he's going to die. Paul goes to the man's house and he lays hands on him and he heals this man by the power of the Spirit of God. God is working all things together. Instead of a shipwreck, instead of dying in the ocean, Paul is healing people on this island. God is working all things together. The point, brother and sister, is we are not alone. We are not alone to try to make it through this life as best we can. We are not alone to white knuckle it till we finally get to heaven. We are here and we have a helper. And he is with us and he dwells within us. And he comforts us and he counsels us and he strengthens us. And he prays for us. And he does through us what only he can do. And he transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. Embrace the Holy Spirit. If we will commune with him, if we will live life together with the Holy Spirit, he will manifest himself in our lives as our helper. In every way that we need help. You need deliverance today? The Holy Spirit can help you with that. You need healing today? The Holy Spirit can help you with that. You need forgiveness today? The Holy Spirit can help you with that. You need strength today? The Holy Spirit can help you with that. He is the divine helper. God, the Holy Spirit, God as we interact with him in this lifetime. And he will manifest himself in every way we need him to, that Jesus Christ might be glorified, that we might be the light of the world, that we might be witnesses for Jesus Christ, experiencing abundant and eternal life. Father, we thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the helper who is not only with us, but lives within us today. Help us, Father, to embrace the Holy Spirit that he might release into our lives everything we need him to be, that we might live in victory and glorify Jesus with everything that's within us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us the helper. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Would you stand with me this morning as we bring our service to a close and stay in an attitude of prayer with me today. And I know we've already had an invitation today, and people have already come forward, and people have already been blessed, and people have already found something, and maybe you've heard something in the message today that dealt specifically with something that you're going through. But let me just ask you one more time. For the sake of time, I'll just ask you to respond right where you're standing today. Again, every single one of us needs help in life. And maybe you've found your help already here today. Maybe you've experienced the Lord doing something in your heart today. Can I just ask you one more time? If you're here today, you need the strength of God. There's something going on in your life. Maybe it's with a job, maybe it's with a relationship, maybe it's with finances, whatever it is. You need the wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the advocate and the intercessor. Maybe you need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You need the helper in a specific way. Maybe you didn't come forward earlier, but you're willing to admit now that you need the helper in your life today to help you with a specific situation with nobody else looking around. Let me ask you, if you would, please, just to raise your hand right where you're standing today and say, "Pastor, I need the helper today." Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Brother and sister, the helper is here. And if you're a believer, the helper is dwelling within you today. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Lean on the Spirit of God. Ask God to speak to you. There's one thing that you have to be willing to do when you ask God to speak. Here it is. Listen to me. If you're going to ask God to speak to you, the one thing you need to do is obey when He speaks. Obey when He speaks. Does you no good to ask God to speak to you if you're not going to obey Him when He speaks? Father, for all of these precious people who've raised their hands at the close of our service today, acknowledging their need of the Helper, I pray, Father, they would lean on the Holy Spirit. They would embrace the Holy Spirit today and commune with the Spirit of God, listening to His voice, willing to do whatever He says to do. And Father, I trust and believe that in every person today, every one of us here today, You can absolutely turn our lives around, change our lives so that we are no longer in despair, but we're in hope. We're no longer in mourning, but we're in dancing. We're no longer in depression, but we're in great joy and cheerfulness. We're no longer in sin, but we're walking in the holiness of the Holy Spirit, our Helper. Thank You, God, for making it so in each one of us today. And I pray, Father, that we would lean on the Holy Spirit beyond this room and beyond this time and beyond this morning, that every one of us would develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, learning to lean and trust in Him every moment of every day. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. So, Father, I commit this church family to You today. I ask you to watch over each one of them, Lord. I ask you to help them. Your word says you are an ever-present help in time of need and trouble. Be to us, Father, what we need you to be as we lean on your helper today. We ask it for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer today. Amen and amen. As always, if we can counsel you further in a personal way about anything you're going through, any struggle you may be facing and dealing with in your life today, please let us know, and we're more than happy to come to you and speak to you personally and love you and pray with you and help you find the help that God wants to give you. Call, text, email, whatever you need to do. Drive by the house, whatever you need to do. Come and find the help. Let us help you find God's help for your life. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Let's sing as we're dismissed. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord.